I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
From a land far, far away where success is a long shot and the struggle really is real, comes a voice from the depths of the concrete, the bowels of the BX, a voice that can't be silenced, here to share his positivity. Welcome to the Hope of the Hood Podcast.
Guys, welcome back to Hope of the Hood. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. Thank you so much for subscribing. Make sure if you're not subscribed to subscribe, rate, review, leave a comment. Shout out to Acast. You can find us acast.com/Hope of the Hood. Shit boy. My week was kind of crazy, I must say. A lot of things happening. A lot of things holding on. I don't really have much to talk about. I don't want to really let the cat out the bag, the cat out the hat. But I will say we have White Chocolate coming up this Thursday at Union Hall, 10 p.m. Fire lineup. Me and Christy Cello with a very funny bunch. We got the hype man, David Ray Martinez. Ooh, ooh. We'll be in the building. Get your tickets now. Also, we'll be at Caroline's on Wednesday for Molly Austin's On the Run tour show at Caroline's, 7:30. I'll be there. Christy will be there. Molly Austin will be there. Sydney Washington and Marie Faustin will all be in the building. And then after that, the after party is at 302 Broome Street. Better days. Make sure you pull up. You know the shit's popping. And what else is going on? Friday, I'll be at the Secret Loft. Check that out. And those are all the updates. This week we have a very interesting guest. His name is Cortez. He's a battle rapper, one of my favorites. He's from New York. He's from Brooklyn. We talk about everything from growing up in Brooklyn to seeing it change and get gentrified over the years. We talked about just like, you know, different routes he took, not giving up, the hood being behind them. We talk about so much stuff, but one of the things that I loved about this interview was it showed the range of someone not only from the hood, but like a hip-hop dude. It shows like, you know, not only do you know about street stuff, but you also might know about abacuses, you know, because I didn't know what an abacus was until I heard it in one of his raps, and we spoke about that. So, guys, hope you enjoyed this interview with Cortez. You can follow him on Instagram at Cortez_HSP. Enjoy the interview. Peace.
We all New York is here, right?
Yeah, you're from Jersey, right?
So who's been to the Statue of Liberty?
Never.
Never. You? Never. You ever been to the Statue of Liberty?
But he be reading books. He's different. So he's a different type of thing.
If you've never been to the Statue of Liberty, the closest New York has been is the ferry. The ferry drives right by, like sails right by it. So you be super lit, you get in. That's the closest I've been to it.
Are you from Brooklyn or are you from
Bed-Stuy? Okay. Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn.
Bed-Stuy.
Bed-Stuy. I only been out there like 2 years.
In Staten Island.
Yeah.
So how was it like growing up in BK for you? Like what was it like for young Cortez?
It was real. Like super real. Like, you know what I mean? Like the era that I grew up on in Brooklyn, you talk about the late 80s, 90s, early 2000s. So there's a whole bunch of like Mexicans moving into New York at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, all the Puerto Ricans. I'm over there on Myrtle Ave. You got Bushwick, you got Bed-Stuy. We run that whole shit. And then at the same time, you know, we got the blacks, and there's no white people. And now I go to the hood, and there's nothing but white people. You feel what I'm saying? Like, it's like a whole 360, everything. Like, the Chinese spot that was, like, no one would go to now is, like, a fucking tofu vegan spot that everyone goes to. I'm like, yo, man, this is crazy. You know what I mean? Like, the bodega that I grew up on is now a fucking art store. Like, it's crazy.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. The lot where we used to play in and flip on mattresses is a bar now, your sports bar. You know, so it's crazy. It's a good thing. You know, you see the community come up, mm-hmm. but... You know, that vibe is not there no more. It doesn't feel like home.
You got old friends that you that
yeah,
still
yeah, live, the whole hood, yeah, yeah.
But that like live that, like right in the mix of it.
Yeah, yeah. I still got like close family and friends that still live in the hood, you know? So when I pull up, it's like different. You know what I mean? And then I tell my son, you know what I mean? And I try to tell him, he'd be like, yo, this don't look like nothing like Murder Ave. This ain't Murder Ave. Like, you gotta realize Myrtle was really called Murder Ave at one time. You understand? There used to be a train station. The M train used to extend all the way from Bushwick and Knickerbocker and all that, all the way to downtown to Flatbush, like right to the end of downtown Brooklyn. So I knew my history. You know what I mean? So when we came up with the whole Murder Ave thing, it was a whole thing around it. Like, there were OGs of us that were called the Myrtle Boys, and you know, and they would hold it down, and they was like a little gang. So when we were just following behind them, and we all rapped. So, you know, but now going back, it's like it's completely different. Fights every day. I got suspended like 11 times in fourth grade. All types of crazy shit. Like, I'm blessed to be here. I'm blessed to be able to mature and see the difference. You know, I see both sides. So it's dope.
So you saying there's like a lot of gluten free going on over there now?
Yeah, a lot of gluten free. A lot of bar hopping. Right. A lot of
brunch.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yo, that should have
nice
bug you out.
On Ave, though.
But does that should have bug you out? Because what was I yesterday? I was somewhere in the city walking around. I forgot. I was somewhere. It wasn't around my way. And they had the little, you know when they got the restaurant, but the shit they be eating outside? And
yeah, I always look at the little things outside.
Yeah, like niggas really be outside. Like, yo, you could just slap a nigga's fucking while he's eating his green peas or some shit. And I'm like, yo, these niggas is really saying comfortable. I couldn't even picture myself eating on the outside of a spot. I see a nigga walking by, yo, what up? Like, even if we cool, I'm vibing. Like, I don't want to talk to you while I'm trying to eat some salmon, some overpriced shit. Like, come on, man. All right, so, like, what did you do before you jumped into battle rap? What was you up to?
Early on, of course, you know, the street thing. You know what I mean? Dibble-dabbled with it a little bit. But then, you know, I had my son at an early age. I had my son at 19. And, you know what I mean? Like, I just try to get my things in order. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I actually was working. Like, right after 9/11, the airport had opened up and they had the TSA and all that stuff. And mm-hmm. I applied for my mom to kick me out. I was in the street. I had no place to go. You know what I mean? I had my son on the way and my mom was like, here, apply for this job and I'm done with you. You know what I mean? Because I wasn't listening and wasn't doing what I'm supposed to do. And I passed it. I was always smart, though. So when I passed it, I got a high score on the exam, and I ended up getting a job, ended up getting, like, a supervisor job at LaGuardia Airport. I worked there for, like, 9 years. But I grinded. While I was working there, I was making good money, too, especially for a 19, 20-year-old.
Security and shit. So
yeah, I had benefits. My son was taken care of. And at the same time, it was a set shift. I would only work, like, 12 to 8 all the time. So I was able to still do the music, you know what I mean? But it was a grind, bro. Mm. Like anyone that ever worked with me, they always knew how obsessed I was with this. So I would always be writing raps on my lunch break. I'd be writing raps whenever I had some downtime. You know what I mean? I was cool. I was always chill. Like, mad females in the airport fucked with me. You know what I mean? Mad niggas in the airport fucked with me. So it was just like, everyone knew I could rap. Everyone was cool. You know what I mean? I was just the chill dude at the job. But I was that nigga, you know what I mean, when it came to rap. And then I would just go do shows, go to open mics, leave from work, change, and just go straight out there. You know what I mean? Really put the grind and get home from the studio 6-7 in the morning to wake up at 10 to be at work at 12, like sleep 3 hours. You know what I mean? And then the battles, I didn't even expect it like that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I went to Fat Beats one time and I battled like 10 dudes. And
one day?
Yeah, one day. It was for DJ Vlad. And he had a Machiavelli like competition for Machiavelli clothes, some crazy shit. Mm. I won that shit. Well, I didn't win. I actually made it to the end. I lost because I couldn't freestyle. At the end, but I was clearly the best rapper. And some dude had the footage on his phone from that day, from one of the earlier battles that I had. He put it on YouTube. I wasn't familiar with YouTube. I wasn't familiar with none of that. And it went viral. And the dude that I battled in that little clip ended up being a 106 in part champion. So when he was on his grind, people would go search him. My battle would pop up.
Right.
And then people was like, who's this dude? Because I killed him. So they was like, wait a minute, who's him? And then from there, people reached out. And then I ended up getting on Grind Time. And then rest in peace, my guy PH. I ended up doing that. And then I ended up being on Smack URL. Mm-hmm. And then once that happened, it was just, it's either go, you know what I mean? Go time. Like, you got to get it now. And from there, like, I haven't looked back. You know what I mean? I haven't worked in the last, like, 8 years. You know what I mean? So it was just like, it pays good money. You know, I'm able to do what I love for a living. And I feel like I put in that work. You know, I was working and rapping for the last 7-8 years before that. You know, like really putting in that work. So, you know, eventually you reap those benefits. And I feel like I've been able to see the world, travel the world. I've battled in all over the world. So it's a blessing to me. You know what I'm saying?
Let me rewind for a minute. So I'm a comedian or whatever. So like, before I was like really moving, which I'm just starting to move a little bit, but like I used to host open mics, right? Mm-hmm. I'm talking about not just like all arts. You got poet niggas, you got rappers, you got... So before that, I never even knew that rappers... I didn't know that dudes that had a rap was like going to the same places that dudes that was doing comedy or spoken word or other, these other...
venues.
Yeah, so I'm like, boom. But then, like, there would always be the dudes that stand out more because it's something about the hustle. Like, I have this one dude, my man, Uni, from the Bronx. So Uni? I would see Matt, not Oompi, Uni, my bad, mm-hmm. Uni G, young dude. I would see mad dudes come through, you know, rappers, whatever, trying to get on, just like rapping, whatever. But Sun took this shit so seriously, like he would treat it like he was signed. Mm-hmm. Like this nigga come through, put his own cutout on the stage. Well, he would have like, and then he would do the other thing that I peeped that he would do was he would get other rappers together. He would like rent out a venue. He would be like, yo, boom, I'm gonna give you X amount of dollars off of whatever ticket you sold to have an incentive for the person to bring their friends.
Yeah.
Yo, I'm gonna give you a cut off the ticket. And then, you know, he would headline his own show. He would probably call somebody in like a Graf or a Fred the Godson to close it out or whatever. But I would see dude being so proactive that I would be like, yo, no matter even if you don't like a dude as far as like what he's doing.
You have to respect the
hustle. Cause you see so many people doing it. So even the fact that you like before the Smack and all of that, you was going out of like, I do comedy. That's all I do, which is crazy to me. Cause like sometimes I get paid. I'd be like, what? Mm-hmm. Y'all pay me to talk shit? Like I just talk shit. Like y'all actually, you know what I mean? But then it's like the work that you put in.
Over those years.
But it's the shit.
It back now.
But before the Smack, the work that you was putting in before the airport. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's
broke.
Like whenever you writing.
Broke, sleeping in the studio, sharing a fucking bacon, egg, and cheese with your engineer, and y'all both ain't got nothing to do, so y'all just in a hot-ass room with your mic on, and you're trying to record, and there's no AC, there's no nothing. Those times right there, those years of working for free is just to not only build your character, but also to show how hard you're going to go for what you want or what you believe in and how far you're willing to go. You know, when you're 21 years old and you're 20 years old, everybody's rapping. Yeah. Once 25 hits, a couple dudes fall off, a couple dudes get jobs, a couple dudes get a girlfriend, a couple dudes have a kid, some dudes do bids, they fade off.
I mean, jail time, people, bits.
You know what I mean? And then by the time you put in your work and maybe you start getting your late 20s or whatever, then you really have something to talk about too as an artist.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like when I was younger, yeah, I could rap all day. Yeah, the racking the systems and the packing the prisons and the racking the digits. But I'm not saying anything. Now I feel like I'm at a point where it's like, yo, like, I can give you substance. I could give you something that you might take home and actually apply to and still have some bars in there and have some fly shit to say, you know? And it's much more appreciated, you know? Like, when I leave New York and I go do something out of town, like, I take it very serious and I appreciate these opportunities because I know I'm not rich. I'm well known. I'm well respected, but we're not rich. So by the time you start getting to 35 and the time you start getting to 40, you might have to go back to that lifestyle. You feel what I'm saying? Or you might have to get something in the industry and you might not be a rapper. You might be plugged in, though. You might become an exec. You might become a personality, something.
Right.
You know, but you get your foot in that game and you appreciate what you get to see because you never know when you know, you never know when there's going to be another ticket like that. And you're doing something that you love that not a lot of people do. Most people do not do what they love for a living.
Yeah.
So you have to, like, treat it that way. And if you treat it that way, I feel like the karma comes back to you in a positive way. You know, and that's what's always keeping me humble. That's what always keeps me with good relationships with people and building with people. And, you know, like, I just continue to stay relevant, like, 8-9 years into this. Whether it's just battle rap or whether it's music or whatever it is, you will hear something that I'm doing. And you know what I mean? Not a lot of people can do that. People get hot and fade out. Then another dude comes, he gets hot, and he fades out. So for me to be able to coast through the errors, like, it's a blessing.
Yo, but how did Young Cortez, right, before battle rap, before anything, like, how did Young, because even for me, I'd be like, nigga, if you told me, like, people go, yo, so how do you get this confidence? How do you know? Like, how are you so... And I'm like, honestly, yo, like, I never thought, like, growing up, I never thought, like, I always wanted to do this, you know what I mean, comedy, but I never, because I look around where I'm at, I look around everybody that's around, so I'm kind of judging how far I can go off of that. So that shit made me lean into doing dumb shit where it's like, because there's no, I didn't really see nothing in it. So what made you as a young dude, I'm sure, you know, we do the regular hood shit that every hood nigga do that's out there. But what made you be like, yo, I'm a... Because like you said, nigga, you know how many niggas... There's always one nigga on your block that got bars. Like the hardest bars than anybody else. Then you go back like, yo, what's son doing? Oh, this nigga doing a bit. Or this nigga... Like you said, all of the things you just mentioned. I so what gives you that, though?
I feel like I was always cocky. Okay. I'm not going to lie. My cockiness was crazy. You know what I mean? Because when I went to school, I knew how to fight. I could play ball. I got fly, and the bitches fucked with me. I've always felt like I was that dude when I walk in the room. I was I chill, like, most of my friends in school were morenos.
Mm-hmm.
So I was the one fly Spanish nigga that was good with everybody. And I cracked jokes and all that, too. So my confidence was up on that. So when I wanted to rap, and I started rapping, and the first reaction that I got, that people was like, ooh, like, yo, son. I was like, cling, like something just sparked where it was like, oh nah, I could go ham with this. And my best friend in high school, my man Shay, he lived in Far Rockaway though. He used to come all the way to Brooklyn to the high school, right? And he was like, yo, you know I make beats on the low. He was like, I record in my crib, but nobody knows. I was like, what? Man, we cut school, went to his crib, recorded. You know, we learning how to make songs. I wasn't making nothing crazy, but we had something. And I would go to school every day. I would leave at cut class, or even if I stayed in school all day and I got out at 3, we'd take the A train all the way to Far Rock till 7, 8 o'clock at night recording. And then I would get back on the train, on the A train, and finish writing whatever I had to write for the bars or whatever, and then take the A train to the G train to get off at fucking Clausen and go back home. You know what I'm saying? Like every day. So and then I would just go home, go to sleep, go to school, do it all over again. And, you know, like, the confidence built from that. You know what I mean? Because then I started selling the little CDs in school.
Right.
And giving them out. And then it was like, yo, hold on, we type lit. You know what I mean? So, you know, and Then it allowed me to go into my hood, and then everyone in my hood knew I rap, but I was always like, I wouldn't let everybody hear everything. I'd be like, I'm a perfectionist. But then after a while, it was like, dudes be rapping, and I would just jump in the ciphers, and I'd be killing them. And then you become the best dude on your block. Then you become the best dude in your hood. Then you become the best dude in the projects. And you're from Best. Yeah.
So that's,
you competition know. All day. LG's right there. Marcy's still right, right, right. Me.
You got Clinton some of the best Hills. People ever yeah, to yeah, do it Wayne, came from
exactly,
your area.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know.
So how did, I was about to get into, you said confidence was crazy because I wrote that down earlier. It was like, you, like, how, I was going to say how important confidence is. Like, how important is it?
Oh,
because even when you come in, you got to have almost an insane amount of confidence to be like, all right, I'm coming from where Biggie and Hov numbers coming from. And I got something to say.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and you learn from it.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, I go back, not now. I did it all now. But like, you know, there was times where I went back and listened to a whole verse from back then or a big, and I get it now. I didn't get it back then. I was too young. You know what I mean? So my whole confidence was just like, man, if they could do it, I could do it. You know what I mean? They gave me hope. You know what I mean? It wasn't even the Jays and all that. I'm even talking about like just Bleak. Like, yeah. I remember playing ball one time and Bleak was in the park on the benches and I didn't know who he was. And everyone was like, yo, son, that's Jay-Z's man. And I'm like, oh, word. And then Bleak came out the next summer. You know what I mean? I remember when they started the Think Big tournament after Big died and everybody went to the park for the Think Big basketball tournament. And Mace comes out and Mace is balling and I'm that's just right. sitting there and I'm just watching everything and I'm just soaking it all in. You know what I mean? So you got to do it. You know what I mean? Like, you have to stop being... Tell people, you know, excuse my, stop being a pussy. Like, either you're going to get it or you're not. You know what I mean? And that goes with everything. That's just not just rap. That's like getting money. Right. That's getting a job, getting a life. Either you're going to get a life or you're going to be a bum. You know what you want to do? You know what I mean? And
that's the vision too, though. Because you got, like, I was telling my son the other day. I'm like, yo, you got to have a vision.
What got the hook?
You
got
to see, like, you. I'm pretty sure before you even started, you saw in your mind what it would look like for you. Like, yo, if I'm doing it this way, this is how it's going to look.
Yeah, like, I remember me and all my guys, we was drinking, chilling on the corner, smoking, whatever. It's like 30 of us. And they opened up a little lounge in the hood called Overtime. And one of the OGs was like, yo, son, let's go in here. My man run the spot. We could get all y'all in. We was all like, 15, 16. Yeah. We was like, what? All right. So we went in. And this dude was rapping on stage. And they amped me up. He was like, yo, Cole, son. Yo, Cole, we know you can go up there and kill them. Yo, Cole, we dare you go up there, son. Take the mic from son and get crazy with him. I'm like, yo, son, y'all not going to do that. For nah, Cole. Yo, son, got a buck right now. You go up there and do that, I'll give you that buck right now. What?
Okay.
Your dude went up there, man. I just went up on the stage, took the mic from him, disrespected him. Grown man. Took the mic from him, started rapping back at him. The dude looked at me. He was tight.
Yeah.
He spit back at me. I spit back at him again. And then I had the whole hood with me, so he was kind of punked at the same time. Where yeah. He had no wins. If he wanted to pop on me, yeah, it would have been nasty for him. And then after that, he was just like, yo, like, the hood got behind me for that. Yeah. You always got to have that one defining moment. You always got to have that one defining moment where they all jump behind you and they jump behind me for that. So then from there, I felt more pressure to not let them down. Mm. You understand? And that pushed me even more, I think, like motivating
so
me.
So this is before the... This is like...
This is way before. This is 16, 15 years
but
old.
But this is like...
It's even before my son.
So I was about to ask you, because for me, like, I can remember certain moments in comedy, right? I think the first time I ever did it, I went to an open mic. I was like, fuck it. I always wanted to do it, but I was like, you know, live it. Like, if you would have told me 10 years ago, yo, this is what you're going to do, I'd be like, nigga, get the fuck out of my face. You crazy? Ain't no money in that. Ain't not even that there's no money in that.
I don't know how to get the money in it.
And it's like, yo, niggas like me from where I'm, niggas, I can't visibly be like, yo, he's from around my way and he did it.
Yeah.
So that's what one of my missions too is like, when I'm on late night, nigga, I got on fatigues and Tim's, nigga. So another nigga could look and be like, yo, I don't gotta wear a suit and I don't gotta conform to fit into that shit, right? But my shit was like, I remember the first time I went up, I got a laugh, my nigga. I got a laugh, son. From strangers. I got a couple laughs, but this is from strangers, right? I just went out because, like, I had hit rock bottom. Like, yo, this is not it. I hit that point in my life, like, I ain't got no life skills, bro. I'm, like, 28, 29, no life skills. I've been hustling my whole life. So I'm like, damn, I just been getting over. And then the well ran dry. So I'm like, shit, nigga, I'm just, my last little bit of money I got. And so anyway, fast forward, I had some, you know, I got inspired. I do this shit and I got these laughs, nigga. And that shit made me keep coming back. Mm-hmm. Like, it made me be like, oh, there's something there. And then I bombed for mad long after that.
Yeah.
But I was still hooked off the first.
But oh, you knew, like, all right, I got something. I got to figure it out how to connect.
Yeah. So, but like for you, like, you, was that the first time that you, when niggas was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, on the stage, because there were strangers in that club, right, too. And then, like, from there was actually a dude stopped me and offered me to be in some magazine called Freeze Magazine. And it was right before 50, and like the whole Green Lantern thing happened. Like, Green Lantern was behind it. I didn't know who he was at the time. We knew who 50 was. He was on the come up. So, but I didn't, it was like seeing things like that made people question. Yo, cool, what's up though? Yo, what you got going on? You know, and when you hear those questions and people ask you like, yo, son, what's up though? What you doing? What you doing? You know, you feel like, I can't slack. I got to be able to do something. I got to be able to tell people I'm doing something. Right. You know what I mean? And me doing that, like I said, I still feel like luck has to come into play. You know what I mean? If it wasn't for that dude filming that one little battle,
right.
That whole domino effect wouldn't have, you know what I mean? So it's like, I think at a certain point, you got to keep working, and opportunity will knock. You might not know.
You put yourself out there, though. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
So it was like, it's luck, but it's also...
If I didn't put myself out there, I wouldn't have got that cold.
If you would have had the cold feet...
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like,
and I still had to perform. You know what I'm saying? That's 10 dudes I had to battle that day. That's a one dude, a grown man that I jumped on stage and battled out of nowhere. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, all that stuff comes into play. You just have to be ready. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If you be ready, you never got to get ready. You know?
It's so crazy because I feel like I'm a battle rap fan. I feel like battle rap. Do you ever watch Roast Battles, like the comedy shit?
Yeah.
I feel like it's like a roast. I feel like almost like...
Oh, it goes hand in hand with comedy and roast. It goes
because y'all niggas is wild witty. Like on some like metaphors, analogies, like battle rappers, I feel like is... Because y'all almost, I feel like y'all doing it in slow motion as opposed to without the beat, without the everything. So like the words got to be even stronger because you're hearing everything. Like you're not going to get thrown off by a dope beat. Like, oh, this beat is, I don't even care what he said until you listen to it 10 more times. You're
There's
like, oh, that's
no
what he said?
Attention span nowadays. Low attention span nowadays. So for me to be able to rap on a stage for 3 minutes with just my words, no DJ, no hype man, and for me to keep your interest, that says a lot.
Right.
You know, Rick Ross has said recently, battle rappers are the best rappers in the world. He was like, because every time we go on stage, it's new material. It's never repeated material. It's always new material.
That's the ill shit, too, I think, for me, like, that I look at. Because it's like, you can't... Like, I host a show every Wednesday night,
mm-hmm.
Low East Side. People come out. So for me to play myself and be like, yo, let me just do the same shit I've been saying the last 10...
Not with it.
But the thing that they love, and you know that, the thing that people love even more is like, yo, how this nigga got more joints? Every time we see him, he got joints.
The creativeness.
But did you know that? Because I'm pretty sure, like you said, I think anything, the part of your brain that you're using, you could apply that to anything, whether it be anything, because at least as far as creative, mm-hmm. being creative goes. Because it's the way your brain works.
I don't think we grow up knowing we're creatives. All right, let me ask you this. What was the first thing that made you say you want to do comedy? What was the first skit or the first stand-up or the first show? Something made you say...
I seen the way that the older dudes that I like, that not even I like my pops and my uncles and my grandfather, I seen the way that they reacted. The most realest niggas, most serious niggas, don't smile, don't laugh. When something funny happened, when something funny came on, they broke. They broke that stone. They broke, you know what I mean?
Like that.
And I was like, nigga, they just... Think of Richard Pryor... Whoever, wrestling, yo, these niggas just disarmed these old grown-ass dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it was one time I was about to get beat by my moms, and I made her laugh, and she didn't beat me. It was on after that. Every time I went out, wherever I went, son, I was like, yo, all of the killers love me, all of the bullies love me. I never got nothing because I always knew my power of, yo, I could entertain my gab. It's like, on the block, I'm the nigga... I'm going to come outside and say some crazy shit. And you're like, oh, this nigga said, yo, say that shit. Or like, they going to say it. Or it becomes a word.
Females.
Yeah. the same shit.
The female, like, yo, it's over.
Mm-hmm. So what was the first big stage for you beyond the first stage when you was 15, 16?
First big stage that actually was rapping, though, my man Billy the Kid, me and him used to go to the open mics in the Pyramid.
Okay.
And he won, and I came in second place. But we was part of the same crew. So they flew us to Virginia, and we opened up for Lil Wayne and the Clips when Lil Wayne did the Stunt Like My Daddy tour. Okay. So we opened up for them down there, and that was like 20,000 people. Jesus. Like, I just remember looking, and you couldn't see the end. Like, you couldn't see, like, you just could see people. And I was like, this is crazy. That shit was lit. But then as far as me, like Cortez, I would probably say on the battling tip. The first one that was big, of course, URL stages. But the huge crowd was probably when I went to London. When I went to London, we flew out there for two days back to back. It was like a big battle event out there. Me, Clips, DNA, Arsenal, right?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We in the hotel. We had a terrible travel issues. Whole bunch of crazy shit, bro. They put us on a bus. They flew us into London. And then they had to fly. Then they had to take us to Leeds, UK. Leeds, UK and London is 5 hours apart. Mind you, Leeds has an airport. So why did they fly us into London when they could have just flown us straight to Leeds? So we get to London. We got to check in the hotel for the night. And we got to get up at 5 in the morning to catch an Uber for all of us. And the Uber's taking us to the bus. And they tell us it's a personal bus for us, right? So I'm like, all right. Boom, we get up. Me and Austin smoking in the hotel room. They kick us out the hotel, right?
In the morning?
Nah, in the middle of the night. Dude bust in and found the little fucking grandma bud and kicked us out. And all as we in London, we don't know what we doing. Boom, that's drama. It's raining, it's pouring, whatever. We get up in the morning, we go get the bus. It's a double-decker bus. We get on the bus. We realize that there's mad people on the top of the bus. We're like, what the fuck is this? We thought it was like a private bus. When we get on, it's all our fans that are going to the event.
Oh, that's lit, though.
At Leeds. But they don't tell us that. And we're all trying to memorize our bars. Yo, and we're on the bus with them for 5 hours. They did not leave us alone. And we're not trying to be rude or nothing. This is the first time they get to see their favorite battle.
Right, right, right.
But at the same time, you could have told us that. Mm-hmm. You know, first off, I want to dress a certain way. If I know I'm traveling, I'm going to throw on some basketball shorts and some slippers and be chill. So, you know, so finally we get to Leeds. We check in our hotel. They tell us be ready in 2-3 hours. We all going through our stuff, our material, blah, 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 blah. All right, boom, they pick us up. They drop us off. When we pull up, it looks like a castle. It's a university, the University of Leeds. But it looks like a vintage castle, which is, you know, it's London. That's how they shits look and all that. We get ushered in through the back, like we got fucking Secret Service. So I'm like, the fuck is this? Like, I'm bugging. And when we walk in through the back terminal, we going down the stairs, you hear you hear the crowd. I'm like, yo, y'all hear that? And Eclipse is like, yo, that sounds crazy. DNA's like, yo, that sounds crazy. I'm like, what the fuck? And we go through the curtain, and it's like when the wrestlers walk through the curtain, and they just be like, and then the whole building goes crazy. Yo, we walked through the curtain. They went so crazy, my heart jumped out of my chest, bro. I was like, what is this? It's crazy. It's easily 2,000, 2,500 just there for battle rap. Crazy, that's son. Crazy.
How many people?
25, maybe 3,000. And this is the first night.
Okay.
We got to do two nights back to back. So I'm like, yo, this is ridiculous. So we going through and the fans are grabbing us and giving us pants and all. I'm like, yo, this is crazy. When we go on stage, man, I said the first ball that I
y'all was battling each other or it was London people?
We was battling the London talent.
Oh, okay.
And it was like the best dudes from London versus some of the best dudes in the...
Y'all was like the dream team of battle rap.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. We went out there. So, excuse me. So, when we all started battling, I went first. I wanted to get out the way.
Yeah.
And, you know, off my first four bars, as soon as I said that first line, that hit, that first punchline, the building went crazy.
Yeah.
It was like, it all went away. And I was like, oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
And then once they react to that first one,
yeah,
like, all right, I'm in my bag.
Yeah, you got to bounce your hand. You got to bounce your hand.
Yeah, I'm in my bag. So, boom, once I got that out the way, I was like, all right, cool. Boom, and then from there, it was just smooth sailing. Then Oz went, then D went, and then it was crazy. Then we had to go back the next day and do another event, and it sold out the same way, same thing, and... Bananas. And then that was like what really opened my eyes. I was like, yo, this is different. You know what I mean? Like, this is crazy. Because we had never left the country before. We knew New York. We could get battles out here. I didn't really know nowhere else I could get battles. Not Cali, not nowhere. So London was the first place I went besides Toronto. And then when I went to, you know, Toronto is huge.
Right, right.
And then I started going to Cali. And then I start going all over the country, and I'm like, yo, this is crazy. Like, this is really something that's caught on, you know? And I'm probably the biggest Latino in the history of battle rap.
So you just say you like the big pun of battle rap?
Yeah, facts. Hell yeah. Fact, you know what I mean? Like, I have the most views, I'm the most recognizable, and I've battled in London, Europe, Canada, the United States, and then I just came home for Australia.
That's crazy. How was
six
that?
Months ago. Bananas. I did two cities out there. I did Melbourne and then I did Brisbane. Okay. And that was like bananas.
I heard, like, I don't know, I met a lot of Australian people doing comedy. I never been there, but they seem fucking nice as shit.
Yo, bro.
Like, just on some regular.
Australia is lit.
You'd be like,
Melbourne?
They'd go
to Melbourne.
They'd be like, no worries, mate. You're like, what?
Melbourne is lit, son. Joints is out there. Bad joints is out there. The weather's beautiful out there. It's clean. And it's like a New York vibe.
Okay.
Especially Melbourne. Melbourne's like a New York vibe. Like, the clubs is lit. Everything is lit. And then the battles popping, too. So I was like, yo, this is crazy. I was out there for 2 weeks chilling.
Who'd you battle out there?
Battled a dude named Dundee. Dundee, which is real typical, right? Real typical, right? A dude named Dundee and a dude named Cortex.
Ah,
that's like a fake me from out there. I was like, yo, this is crazy, but I killed them both.
I mean,
but you know what I mean? It was just crazy that I looked at it like that. I was like, yo, this is crazy.
Yo, you ever took an L, like a memorable L on stage? Like you remember your first L? If you ever, I don't really, because it says, I looked you up, they say you did 67 joints on the record. I'm pretty sure it's more that they don't know about. Would you say, do you remember taking your first L, and then what made you come back after that shit?
Well, battles aren't judged nowadays. Mm-hmm. Very few are, but my very first like L where I felt like I lost, there's a difference.
Personally, yeah, personally.
Against A-Verb in St. Louis, I felt like, because I went into that battle thinking I had it all. And I learned a lot in that battle. I learned about the home crowd.
A-Verb is from St. Louis,
Okay. And I battled them in St. Louis. And I got my ass whooped.
You thought it was sweet.
Thought it was sweet. I went in there. I'm talking on being okay. And he was not fucking with me at all. I'm saying, nigga, they don't fuck with that. Spanish guy saying, nigga, what? They think I'm Mexican. They're like, what? Yeah. Hell, they did not fuck with me at all. I got no love. And I was saying some shit, but I got no love. And I was like, yo,
did it happen like so in comedy? It's like, I got punchlines. So if you're punched at you, in your mind, you like, this is a Hadouken,
and then
80
verb
hit
verb
combo.
Was superb. Verb okay. was A1 superb. I sat there, I was like, damn, he smoked me. You know, I mean, I've never left the ring felt like somebody was a better rapper than me. I could leave the ring and say, yo, he had a better game plan. Mm-hmm. Yo, I didn't really put in all my work. I was busy. I had a lot of shit going on. He was focused. Okay, I can deal with that. But I won't deal with me leaving the ring feeling like someone's actually better than me.
Right.
I take pride in how good I can rap. So that time I kind of felt like that. And then from there, I went on a rampage. I went... that was like 2014 that happened. 2015, 2016, and 2017, I might have took, out of those 67, 68 battles, I might have took 35 to 40 of them in those 3 years. Like crazy. I started collecting all the bags I can and just smoking anybody. I didn't care if it was a low name guy or a high profile battle or battle in fucking Idaho, and they got a couple bands for me, and I go out there. But I went on a rampage of anybody could get it, and so I did that just to. And I also did it because, you know, when you get to a certain point, like Mayweather or anybody that's a big fighter, they only gonna fight maybe once or twice a year, you know. And you're not sharpening your sword. With rap, you gotta sharpen your sword. So I felt like, damn man, I was only battling like once or twice a year. I gotta get into this, like get into it a little bit more and put in more work. And when I started doing that, it started coming to me real easy. You get what I'm saying? So from there, I was like, yo, all right. And then from there, I just started figuring out a lot of game plans, a lot of smooth shit, a lot of slick shit to say, how to do it, deliveries, working on certain wings. And then right now, where I'm at now, it's like, that's why last year was such a big year for me, because I said, okay, now I can chill. And now I'm gonna cherry pick who I want, and I put on classics last year.
Do you think, so basically you think the A-Verb joint propelled you?
Yeah, I always give him credit for that.
Okay.
I always tell him there's a day gonna come too where I'm gonna get back in the ring with him, you know?
Yo, I was listening to one of your recent battles and you was like, cause I'm a dude, I dropped out in like eighth grade, so I don't really. But I love to learn. I'm a comic, so I gotta learn. I'm learning shit.
You ever feel like, damn, man, if I knew what I knew now, I would have stayed in school?
Nah. I was talking to my homegirl earlier. I was like, I seen a nigga get shot in the face before, like, first period. When, you know, when you wait outside of school before you dish the bell. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, I don't think I gotta go to school no more. I'm like, I'm gonna get shot on my block. Fuck, I'm gonna go over there to get shot. Nigga, fuck out of here. They got security, airport, metal detectors. Yeah. I'm like, nigga, I'm gonna stay home.
Mm-hmm.
But I love to learn. So I be on some, like, it just, and then, I don't know, man. I just love to learn. But, like, you said a word, man. You said abacus, man. In the battle.
Or abacus.
Abacus.
Yeah,
and then you said something like an activist.
The moves, the moves calculated with tool. I said my moves are calculated. The tool is like an abacus. I be marching with the pole in the streets. I'm an activist.
Come on, man. Abacus, nigga. Yeah. I don't even know what that means.
Yo, let me tell you how it comes across. So sometimes you think of a word and I start rambling all the rhyme words and I'd be like, ratchetus, abacus. I said, what the fuck is an abacus? Oh, shit, hold on. Let me see what an abacus is. I looked it up and it said it's like some shit with the numbers. Right? So it's like...
Oh, that's the
like
shit.
With the circles.
Yeah, the fucking old school shit.
So I said, but it said you calculate like that. It's like a calculator or some shit.
Yeah, that's the
I
shit.
Still don't know how to do it, but...
That's the Chinese
like,
shit that you
But
do
I said my
shit.
Moves are calculated.
Mm.
The tool is like an abacus. You know what I'm saying? So and the abacus is a tool. I was like, I could play with that.
Smart out here, son. Don't be thinking like, yo, you ever, yo, that's what I be thinking too. Like, yo,
yeah, because that's hilarious.
Son, if niggas had Google back in the day, bro, why would you have to go to school, son? You could just Google anything you wanted directly. Like, yo, directly. You don't have to put bullshit in your brain that you don't need to know.
Unneeded
like,
info.
You know what I mean? What would you tell a kid in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn? Like, from the old, last of the Mohicans type of kid. Mm-hmm. Not the new kids that's there that's going to the special schools with no peanuts and none of that. I'm talking about kid from around the way. Because then you got to kind of look at it too different, I think, now. Because it's like, is kids going to the park and seeing Bleak or having these type of images where they get something that's obtainable? Now you look at a dude on a unicycle. And you're like, man, maybe that's my next move. There's a kid on the block right now that's like, maybe I cross over and get into the unicycle game or whatever. You don't know. But then there's also the kid that's like, yo, let me pump this pack. Let me join this gang. Let me get somebody $150. Let me go the wrong route because it's easier and there's no hope there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what would you tell that kid? Yo, that shit's astonishing, bro. Like, if I was your nephew or something back in the day, I'm a young kid, and my uncle or my pops, whatever, if you was my pops, say, for example, you already setting a lit-ass example of like, yo, dad, yo, uncle Cole, what you going to go do today? You going to go battle somebody? Where it's like, nigga, that already put something in somebody's head like, oh, I could do, like, when them niggas be like, yo, Uncle P, what you about to go do, comedy in the city tonight? That shit makes something like make me feel like, yo.
I got to do it because he's looking at me. You know what I mean? Yeah.
But you also showing them like, yo, there's another fucking way though. And even for you, I think it's like, it's a unique way of like, you kind of had your own vision.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So like you had the confidence on your side out of the gate.
But, you know, there's a lot of times where, like, a lot of artists, they get that OG around them. Might not be a father figure, but it might be somebody that's in the streets that'll keep them out the streets.
Mm-hmm.
I necessarily didn't have that. You know what I mean? A lot of my peoples around me influence the street shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? Absolutely. So the ignorance I thrived off of,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, I've had a lot of close calls from, like, you know, like, certain situations, you know, where it was like, man, I got to do something else. You feel what I'm saying? From shootouts to fights to certain brawls to certain situations, just you see how things turn out and you got to be the dude. You can't live in the moment. Like a lot of kids, like that kid growing up in Bed-Stuy right now that's from that era, he more than likely lived in the moment because we don't think about tomorrow. All we think about is, yo, son, what time is it right now? Yo, it's 7:44. The game going to come on by 9. Yo, I'm about to go get some bub right now. We're going to go get this Henny. I'm going to go watch this game. I'm going to go call the bitch over. And that's it. That's all he's thinking about.
To the next day.
He's not thinking about tomorrow. He's not thinking about getting up tomorrow to do a job interview. He's not getting up tomorrow to go to school. He's not getting up tomorrow to figure out if there's even money, if food in the fridge or his mom's got, like, they're not there day to day. And when you stuck like that, you will wake up and you will be 30, 40 years old and be like, where the fuck did everything go? Yeah. You know what I mean? And you have to have certain people around you that are doing things, you know? I wanted to be that person. I wanted to give my team hope. You know, everybody that was under me started rapping or started producing or started engineering something, making clothes or something that I could sit there and say, yo, my influence in my hood is huge. When you think of Myrtle Ave, you're not going to think of many other rappers before you think of Cortez. You might think of Jay-Z. Alright, what I'm gonna do with that, right? I can't pass that, right? That's the GOAT. But then it's like, there's not many other rappers that you would say rap the Myrtle. You feel what I'm saying? But I rap the Myrtle. Like, you feel what I'm saying? Like, so that shit is solidified to me. You know what I mean? I got records with Method Man. I've been joints with Cassidy. I've worked with certain artists that they sit there and be like, they be on Myrtle and they'll hit me. Yo, boy, yo, I'm out in your hood. You know what I mean? Kid Capri and legends that I sit there and be like, damn, like I'm a stamp for that hood.
Right.
You know what I mean? So my influence is crazy. You know what I mean? I've went back to the hood and been on some regular shit and sweats and a tee, playing ball with my niggas, and then go to the store to go get some and somebody will see me and be like, yo, I remember you when you was young. Yo, I be seeing you on the YouTube now. I remember when you was a kid. Yo, I see you on World Star, whatever. And to me, that shit is motivation.
Right.
You know what I mean? Even like last year, right? When I was in high school, I had flunked out of math 1 year, whatever. And I never got along with this teacher. And I ain't, you know what I mean? You know how that shit go.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't fuck with her. She ain't fuck with me, whatever. And she found me on Facebook because my best friend, he went to high school with me. But his aunt raised him and shit, and she was like a guidance counselor in the school, whatever. So she passed away. So, you know, he always used to come to my crib. Like, if he couldn't stay with her, because he was like, he ain't had no place to be like that. He used to come to my crib when we got older and shit like that. We held each other down. That's my best friend to this day, my nigga Reezy, A1. His aunt passed away. His aunt passed away, we went to the funeral, you know, and I bumped into that teacher and a few other teachers. And, you know, and then, you know, they seen on the Facebook and they was like, yo, like, they shook my hand like, yo. You did it.
Right, way to like, not go
like,
to jail.
Like, yo, you used to be rapping all the time. We remember you in the hallway doing, and you really went and set the bar. Right. You know, and I opened doors for a lot of the other kids.
Right.
And they respect that. You know what I mean? Even if they don't understand it, because a lot of people, even my mom didn't understand rap. My mom was like, what the fuck are you doing, man? Go to school and go get a job. Like, what are you talking about? My mom was just done with me.
Was this the first thing that people actually, like, your family... And your close people, but like, oh shit!
Well, the Holland Hand battle. Once I did that,
I'm just saying, rap like battle. Like, was this the first? Like, you ain't do nothing prior to this.
Nah, they always knew. They always knew from 14. My mother was like, my mother even says I used to sing when I was a baby, like when I was a kid. But my mom's, you know, she didn't really care for it that much. She always was like, you need a backup. But when that Holland Hand battle happened and I told dude about all the stuff and it went so viral and it had such an impact, that battle, like, they used that in AA programs. They used that battle to fucking change a whole bunch of things. Like I've had people stop me and say I got off drugs because of that round.
Oh, wow.
So, like, when my mother seen that, and then my mother seen, like, the comments and all that. Like, that made my mother proud.
Right.
She was like, yo, you fucking did that? Like, you know what I mean?
Like, and, your papa, you
and,
hungry?
And, yeah. And, like, then, oh, yeah. And then from there, she was like, I'm going to support you. You know what I mean? Because she seen that it wasn't like it was forced. I just did something so positive and it went so crazy. Right. She was like, you know what? I got you. You know what I mean? I see now. And then when I do a record with Method Man, it kind of, like, solidifies, like, all right, I'm doing the right thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't argue with me. I'm not, and I don't ask my moms for nothing. Like, I'm self-dependent. She know, like, I ain't broke.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I come to the crib, yo, ma, what you need? Like, I'm not broke. My son is taken care of, and that's all she cares about. She's like, my son needs some. I don't bother her about nothing. She'll just see my son with new sneakers, new outfit, yo, yeah, daddy got me this, daddy got me. Like, you know what I mean? So she says I'm responsible as a father. The bills are paid. And I'm doing what I love. And that's all she cares about. You know what I mean? She always tells me, yo, always have a backup just in case. But I'm going to support you what you do because I see what you know.
Yo, my dude, appreciate it. What do you tell the kid in the hood that doesn't have the fucking, you know, I guess the mentor, doesn't have the, maybe he thinks he has a skill.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like overshadowed by the lack of hope or whatever it is, you know, shit that happens in the hood that make you don't follow your dreams. What do you tell that kid?
I think he needs to create. Yeah, I think he needs to set his goal and don't deter from the goal. Even if it's set a goal for a year, 2 years, whatever, graduation, whatever, and then set yourself points on how to achieve that major goal by saying, okay, look, by this time I'm going to do this. By this time I'm going to do this. By this time I'm going to do this so I can do this. You know, but always never be afraid to invest in yourself. Never be afraid to believe in yourself. Though. You have to be a believer before anyone else is going to be a believer. So if you have no hope, no one else is going to have hope. When people see that you believe in yourself and you're doing something like you with comedy or me with rapping or whatever it is that you do, then someone is going to sit there and be like, man, I'm fucking him, son. He's trying to do something different. It's easy to be in a gang. It's easy to drop out of school. It's easy to shoot somebody. It's easy because everybody's doing it. How about you be the different person? You know what I'm saying? How about you go the harder route and show people that there's more to life than just colors and guns. You feel what I'm saying? That's what I would tell them.
Yo, thank you for doing the interview. Appreciate it. You got a battle coming up soon.
Yeah, on the 12th, North Carolina. Smack URL, Cortez versus Ryder. It's already sold out, I think, but y'all could get the pay-per-view. Yeah. URLTV.TV, watchbattle.live. That's going to be crazy. You know what I mean? Just check out the music.
Yo, I appreciate you, bro.
My guy.
Thank you. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.